Podtacular 389, Matchmaker of Destiny for September 12th, 2013.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm, and I am here today with some very, very special guests, all the way from another land, so to speak, but not too far, being directly related through Bungie. But that is the guys from Guardian Radio. We have three of them on the show. First off, we have, Mark Turcott, who is the host of Guardian Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having us.
Next, we have Craig Hardgrove.
Hey, Dustin.
How's it going?
Thanks for having us.
That's a pleasure, man. And finally, we have Derek Smith.
Hey, Dustin. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad that all you could be on the show. Just so everyone at home knows, I was actually on Guardian Radio about a month and a half ago. We talked about some Halo stuff on there. And the guys here decided to help return the favor, so they're going to come talk about some Destiny stuff. I know a good portion of our fans are interested in Destiny because it is a Bungie title, and Bungie started Halo, so we are very interested to see what Bungie is going to be bringing to the table with Destiny dropping later this year. So again, guys, welcome to the show. It is an honor and a privilege to have you guys on. So as we do with all of our guests, we need a little bit of introduction of who you guys are. So starting out with Mark, give us a little bit of information behind what it is you do and how you kind of got your start with your interest in Destiny and Guardian Radio and kind of that process of starting the podcast.
Well, actually, man, I mean, it's kind of funny here for me to be on Podtacular. And I think I told you actually when you were on our show that for me, this was one of the first podcasts that I ever listened to, like way back with Fumo Jive and JVB. And so like to be a part of, you know, this community and to have you invite us onto the show is kind of just like I've gone full circle now with podcasting. I mean, I've been podcasting now over 5 years and, you know, our show, we've been out, what, guys, 6 months now?
6 months.
And Derek and I have been together, what, over a year and a half now, Derek?
Over a year and
going
a half,
on 2 years, man. Yeah. And Derek and I met. I used to do a video show for Play and Trade. They were a retail store. They actually have a few stores out there. And I was doing a video show for them. And Derek was actually doing the magazine because Derek is also the founder and editor-in-chief of Game Insider magazine. And we just hooked up and started doing podcasts. And, you know, I've always been a Bungie fan, always been a Halo fan. And when I found out that Destiny was their next game, you know, I just wanted to do a podcast about one single game. Yeah, I called Derek like the day they announced it. I'm like, Derek, you know, I've always wanted to do a show on one game, and this is it. There is no other game. So they announced it, what, on a Sunday, I think? And like that following Monday, not the next day, but the following Monday, first episode of Guardian Radio was out. And we've just been doing it week after week, somehow putting shows out with barely any information out there. But, you know, we've been having a blast doing it, man. And you know, like I said, the podcast is getting a pretty big following that we didn't even really expect, I think. And the feedback has been amazing. And, you know, I'm so glad to be here to spread more of the love out to the Bungie community and hopefully get some more Halo fans that are interested in what Bungie has next to kind of get them, you know, to know that we're out there and tune into us also. Because, you know, Podtacular, like I said, is very near and dear to my heart going way back in podcasting. So that's kind of, I guess it's kind of a wrap up for me. What about, let's turn it over to you, Craig. I mean, you're kind of, I guess, newer to us. We just met you actually, what, within the last 4 months?
About? Yeah, I'm a little bit of an outsider to the group, but hopefully I made my way in.
You're in, dude.
It sounds like you made a pretty good fitting in the podcast so far.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, I've been a longtime Bungie fan since Back to Marathon, and I redid the Marathon soundtrack and basically just started listening. I've been following Bungie for long time and listened to Guardian Radio and like, these guys are awesome. I need to get in touch with them. I think my email was something like, hey, I work on the Mars rover and I would really be interested in podcasting with you guys.
Yeah, well, I don't want to cut you off, babe, but let me tell that story.
Tell a story, Mark.
It was like a Friday or Saturday night, getting ready to go to bed or whatever, you know, whip out my phone, check out my email real quick. And there's this email from this guy who says, like, hey, you know, I'm a Bungie fan. I also work on the Mars Curiosity rover, you know, over at NASA. I'm like, what? I'm
like, this how guy, do you respond NASA. To that?
Yeah. And like, I'm sitting there, like, I almost dropped my phone. I'm like, what? So we had Craig on that week. And then, I mean, he just fit in. I mean, Craig, I mean, it's practically now like you and I have been friends for years. I mean, we have much of the same interests. And, you know, like yeah. Dustin said, I mean, you've been a perfect fit for the show.
Yeah, I mean, doing this show with you guys, it's like I feel like I know all of you, and we've been friends for a long time. So it's been really great. So it's a really good fit, and I guess that's the other part of my backstory is just that I work on the Mars rover. So
Craig goes to outer space every day. Is basically what we say it
virtually, not physically, virtually, because I think that might not turn out very well unless you have a suit on.
No, I don't. I can't pass the astronaut tests, so I'm not going to space anytime soon.
Have you actually tried the astronaut tests?
No. They, you know, you have to have like perfect eyesight and no medical history whatsoever. So I figure I'm not even going to try. So, like, hurt
fair,
my neck.
Fair assumption,
back in
I guess.
Great. So, you know, I'm out.
All right, Derek. Let's move on to you for the last one of the group. How did you get your start with Destiny and podcasting and everything of the related sort?
Yeah, well, Mark said it best. He's always talked about, you know, doing a podcast for just one particular game. And when the game was initially announced, I remember the phone call and just listening as Mark just went on about his passion for just this one game and how Destiny could be that game. In fact, it wasn't how it could be the game. I was convinced based on his excitement it was that game.
Yeah, you say that phone call. Why don't you say like that phone call and then that other phone call and then that next phone call and then the next phone call?
We just had daily phone conferences that we were talking about possible podcast.
Seriously, it was to that point. And of course, I have to admit this as well. My enthusiasm was there, but nowhere near Mark's. Oh my God. I mean, Mark actually kind of like, you know how he's trying to take somebody take you to the well to get some water and you're thirsty, but you're like, it's a mirage. It's not really there. He was like, hey, you idiot, this is water. Okay. So come on, man, you know? So I followed suit, and ever since it's been wonderful. It's been absolutely great. Of course, as Mark mentioned, you know, we've been talking and knowing each other for like a year and a half now, with the magazine and his interests in gaming and his knowledge of the industry as a whole. It's just been a great relationship. But the show, with all the personalities that we have, from myself, Craig, Mark, and Watts, Patrick Watts, that is, Mr. Watts, and then Chris, it's just been a great experience for me personally. And I love it. It's wonderful. Absolutely.
Good. So talk about the magazine a little bit. You guys both work on the magazine called Game Informer.
Right? No.
I wish
it was not Game Informer.
Game Insider.
No. Game Insider. Oh, Game Insider. Sorry. Wrong eye. Okay. Game Insider.
No. It's okay.
My bad.
Game Informer. They're nice guys. I know of some of them. They're nice people.
You
I wish
know
it was
of Informer. Some of them. I like how you phrase that.
No. I speak with some of them. They're nice, especially the editor in chief over there, Andy McNamara. He's a nice guy, but they're in a whole different stratosphere when it comes to social connectivity and fan base. I'll just say that.
But our magazine, you know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah. Home by GameStop. But we're doing quite well. Our magazine is 100% exclusive digital publication. We have 8 issues a year. We just dropped an issue that came out. It was entitled The Clash of the Titans, talking about the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, the similarities and all that good stuff. Very non-biased approach.
I wrote an article in that one, didn't I?
You did.
You wrote a wonderful article in that magazine, in that issue. And I recommend those who are interested in Craig's mental, you read that article. But don't be offended by the very first sentence. Don't be offended by the first sentence. But other than that, it's wonderful. It's a great read. Great read. The magazine's been around since 2010, and it's dear to my heart, and it's growing big time. Yes.
First sentence, I made fun of Watts. That's really what it is. So.
Yep. That's what it is. Yeah, people who haven't listened to our show, Watts is one of our co-hosts who has just become this character. And this crazy thing is, it's not really, he's not a character. I mean, what you hear on the show is Watts. Like,
it's real.
He is just hilarious. And, you know, we were hoping he could be here tonight, but he last minute, and this is like just typical Watts fashion. Number one, he just is suddenly said he's going to school. And then it just so happens that it's been on recording nights lately. So he didn't even tell us any of us that he's going to school. So he's unfortunately couldn't be here tonight, but yeah, so he's kind of the brunt of the joke. So if you hear his name come up here tonight a couple times, it's just habit, I think.
I like to think I inspired him to go to school.
So. I do too. Yeah. Warlock school, right?
Right.
Warlock school.
hey, Warlock is probably the first class I'm going to be picking, so.
Nice. Well, then you can go to Warlock school with Watts.
Yay! Yeah. We can be classmates.
That would be cool.
Yep.
Awesome. So you said you've had the magazine going since 2010.
Yeah, September 2010 was when we launched our first issue. That cover story was covering a game by the name of Conduit 2 from over at the guys at High Voltage. Real nice guys. It was a Wii title, in fact. And so from there, we've just pushed out issues and made people smile because the issues are very attractive, very nice, yep. Very good reads.
Available on any device, too, phones, tablets.
Exactly.
Stuff. Yep.
It's awesome. And it's free.
Parties.
Yeah, the free is pretty cool. I was actually looking at the website earlier today, even though I did say Game Informer. I didn't know it was Game Insider. Okay.
It was intentional, right, Derek? Eye. It was intentional.
Yes, it was intentional. Have you ever seen a movie called Coming to America with Eddie Murphy?
I have not. No.
You have not? If you see the movie, there's a reference in the movie. There's a gentleman who owns a McDonald's, but it's not called McDonald's. It's called McDowell's. And literally, it looks like McDonald's that has the golden arches like McDonald's and everything, but it's the golden arch. Right. Right. And so my position was, I love Game Informer magazine. I really do. I think it's a great read. But with technology today, with, you know, digital technology, there's things that you can do that most magazines are not doing. And so we came up with a magazine known as Game Insider, which we are Game Insider. Those who write in the magazines, we're passionate gamers that love the industry. We stay politically correct, but sometimes we want to get deep down and dirty and talk about those things that most people don't want to talk about because they're afraid to, let's say, burn those relationships. We're not going to do anything to burn a relationship with a publisher or a developer in our articles. However, we want the readers to be informed. So we pump out our issues. And our artistic, you know, flavor of the magazine comes from a standpoint of it being like a graphic novel. We want it to be very image heavy. And so that's what it is with great content.
I mean, that even kind of bleeds over to our site, man. TheGuardiansOfDestiny.com. Like, we intentionally made it very visual. It's a visual experience, which, you know, unfortunately, we launched that site with the intention of being a true Destiny website with articles and all that stuff, and then obviously just Guardian Radio took off and real life kicks in. We just can't constantly be updating it, so someday we may want to go back and revisit the site and just make it more podcast friendly, but that idea Derek's talking about, that's why the site is kind of intentionally this very flash heavy just visual experience rather than just your typical blog. That's
exactly
so. Very nice. So we're going to get onto some Halo stuff now. So the Guardian of Destiny guys, you'll probably sit tight for a little bit, but feel free to comment on anything that you guys want to.
VR is better than the DMR. Just throwing that out there.
Now I would have to agree with you, although I was a big proponent of the DMR before the title update. But yeah, the four-shot kill, bringing that back, it does feel true to its calling, so to speak. It's just interesting how there's the two different sides of kind of the argument on there. And there was a group of people that loved the DMR from Reach, and there was a group of people who were like, no, bring back the four-shot BR from Halo 2 and Halo 3. And you could definitely see that the DMR folks were a little bit smaller compared to the BR folks since the BR has been around longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I still wish those two were a little bit balanced. I think the DMR got nerfed way too much, in my opinion. But
I mean, I still continue to even play with the BR, like even when it was, you know, the initial one, because I remember, I think I've tuned into one of your episodes and you guys were saying like, everybody, you know, to be competitive, you have to be playing with the DMR. But like, for me, I think I just equated like me dying just to the fact that maybe I suck more at Halo rather than it actually being that the BR was, you know, nerfed or whatever. I don't know. I just like what do you want to say? Maybe the cadence of the shooting of the DMR just never, for me personally, just never felt right. Like, I always wanted to be just using the BR and seeing the scope like that way. So it's just, I don't know, I guess.
I think now the BR outkills the DMR a lot faster in more situations than the other way around.
Yeah, in Halo 4, it's definitely the case.
Yeah, it's kind of flopped in a sense, because before it was the DMR with how much magnetism it had on the reticle, the red reticle range, and having that five-shot kill basically was one of the things that made it really powerful in the game, And the rules between the BR and the DR basically switched with this title update. So the BR is in a more powerful position and can take people out a lot quicker, actually, than the DMR from a little bit further range now. So the scale is kind of like, in my opinion, almost tipped how it was just oppositely now with the title update.
Yeah.
So, all right. So on to some Halo news. As far as Bulletin update goes, BS Angel's back in the hot seat. So Bravo's been doing the updates for a little while, but BS Angel has finally come back to her senses and started posting some Bulletin updates. And we have some matchmaking updates coming. We had the Halo 4 Global Championship at PAX, which was a lot of fun. We're going to be having a couple of podcasts next week about PAX. Hopefully we can get some interviews with the winner, Ace, and the second place runner-up, I Got Your Pistola, for next week. And we'll also be talking to, so far that has been confirmed, Ghost Ayame and Golden Boy from kind of the commentator's perspective on how the Global Championships went. So it's going to be lots of cool stuff that you guys will not want to miss. But back to the Halo Bulletin. Of course, 343 is working on some of the upcoming content for Halo, and that's, of course, the TV show that will be coming to Xbox One, as well as Halo 5 that will be coming down the pipeline. And they kind of hint that there are some other projects that they're working on, which just casually says, insert absolutely zero clues here. So there's obviously some other projects that they're working towards pulling out for Halo, but the big ones that we know of right now are the TV show and the Halo 5, or Halo Xbox One, as it's properly titled by Microsoft. So there's that whole debate that's going to go on forever.
Yep.
We'll see how that one turns out.
I think I pointed it out right even before the show went going. I was like, is it really Halo 5? And you're like, come on, man, it is. And so it's got to be right, but why wouldn't they just say that? That's what I don't understand. Why wouldn't they just say that?
So here's a little piece of news that came out during PAX. It was either Saturday or Sunday. I want to say it was Sunday, but the people that actually made the Halo 5 trailer accidentally made public a video on Vimeo that specifically had Halo 5 as the title for the game.
All right.
I haven't seen the video yet because it was taken down very shortly afterwards, but I had some people that were actually rooming with me at PAX in my hotel room. They posted up an article about it, and they may have a copy of the video there. It's the folks over from TeamBeyond.net, so you can go check them out. But there was actually a video from the company that made the trailer for Halo Xbox One or Halo 5 that specifically said Halo 5. And it would kind of make sense at this point, because it's the continuation of Chief's story. It would be the fifth game with Master Chief in it, thus Halo 5, thus just continuing.
But why not call it that?
I know.
Don't you think it would give people more hype to buy the Xbox One knowing that Halo 5 is coming rather than just show
absolutely
Master Chief in a hood, you know, which still in itself is awesome. Like, that trailer is amazing, but
it is.
That trailer was awesome.
It's incredible, man. But at E3, I remember, Derek, you saying you thought that was Destiny. Like,
until he
pulled back his
rebuild himself. Right. And I was blown away by it. I'm like, oh, my God, that looks amazing.
Like, I had no clue what the game was until I saw Cortana's chip. And until that point, I had no idea what the trailer was. And it was cool, because the suspense of what that game was, it was very well executed. This was an awesome trailer.
It was. I mean, it was short-lived, but it did what it needed to do as far as creating a bit of excitement for it. But as far as the name is concerned, calling it Halo 5 is their best bet from a sales standpoint, in my opinion, because we know Halo 5 is what it should be called. Personally, I would love for it to be called something else, but being called something else takes from the fact that it might not be what most fans are expecting. The next, game in the Reclaimer trilogy or what have you. It could be some other Halo tied to the Windows 8 version. People just don't know. So if you call it Halo 5, it's a safe bet.
I was just thinking of maybe they actually want to get away from calling it Halo 5 just because of sort of what people might interpret. You know, they're like, oh, now we expect Halo 1. Maybe if they're planning on, let's say, 10 Halo games, they want to stop calling them Halo 5, 6, 7 because of what it means or what people might think about. Oh, it's already on Halo 8 or something.
Yeah,
like,
does it really matter anymore?
So here's kind of the direction I see 343 taking it at the moment. With this whole kind of new naming system. And especially with the advent of Spartan Ops now in Halo 4, there are so many pathways that are kind of opening up. So we've seen a lot of stuff come out of the Spartan Ops stuff. So we have Halo Spartan Assault now, which is kind of a spinoff of that. And we also have Halo Initiation, which is the comic that came out of Spartan Assault as well. Kind of the story behind Sarah Palmer. So it's almost like we might see a split here of Halo as a story. So we may see the Master Chief storyline go one way and his kind of quest throughout the Forerunners and kind of going back in history there and really finding out who the Forerunners were and who the Precursors were. But then we might see this other direction where Spartan Ops is taking us that keeps on going and exploring the conflict with the Covenant or this rogue sect of the Covenant and the UNSC. So we may see just a dynamic split of the Halo mythos. And I would like to see, from Master Chief's perspective, that stay a numbered system. And then anything else that comes along, maybe that's will get a new name. Like maybe those will be Halo and then title of the game.
You know what? I think too, Dustin, to take what you're saying and add something to it, it needs a tagline though, in my opinion. I think just calling it Halo 5, it still suspends it in that realm of just that number naming that doesn't truly identify it with the experience that you're going to have. Before Halo 4 launched, they talked about the Reclaimer trilogy that was coming, right? So you had Halo 4, which is the first chapter in the Reclaimer trilogy. I'm hoping, based on what you're saying, all that sounds great, but
Let me stop you right there for a minute, because it's longer a trilogy. Microsoft, or 343 has actually come out and said, we're changing this from a trilogy, and now it's going to be a saga. So it's no longer the Reclaimer trilogy.
But still, thank you for the correction, but even still, looking at, let's say, Halo 5, call it Halo 5 and then something else. Tag it to an experience. You know, in the chat, someone mentioned like Halo Master. I mean, Halo 5, the something master or whatever chapter. Something like that would make more sense instead of just Halo 5.
The reason I brought up the whole saga thing is because I think that even supports the reason for making the taglines in the title. I still think it needs to be Halo 5, but having that kind of tagline in there, just like how it was for Halo 1, where it was Halo Combat Evolved, I think that I kind of agree with you, where that might be a good direction to take.
I like that.
I wouldn't say Halo tagline, but Halo number tagline, I think, would be probably the way that they should go, at least with the Master Chief story.
I agree, 100%, because that's where the Halo experience is at. Unfortunately, you know, Halo Spartan Assault was not, you know, hugely favored by, you know, it didn't get, you know, critical acclaim like people thought. I thought it would be great. But again, it's still not that Master Chief experience. You know, I love Halo 4. Amazing. At the end just drove me absolutely nuts. He's taking his helmet off. I'm like, oh, my God, don't go off. Don't go off. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm not going to see the guy's face. Forget about it. But
we still haven't seen his face yet.
I know you haven't. No. I know you have. But
where does Spartan Ops play into the saga? I mean, isn't that maybe why it's no longer the trilogy? And I mean, could we foresee, and you guys may have chatted about this on the show before, Dustin, but like Halo, quote unquote, 5 comes out and then like that's kind of it. Like, because I mean, look at what the Xbox One was going to be initially. It was going to be all digital. So there would never even really be a true another entry of Halo. It's just all digital distribution through like they did with the episodes of Spartan Ops. They're slowly releasing this saga to you rather than, okay, here is your $60 title. It's you buy the season pass for the, you know, Reclaimer saga and you're good to go for the next year for everything we release for it.
Right. So it is kind of changing platforms based on how the Xbox One is doing delivery now, but it's still, you kind of have that numbered system for the campaign of Halo. And we traditionally haven't seen any DLC for campaign, and granted we haven't really seen anything past a season 1 for Spartan Ops, and they don't have any plans to do a season 2 for Spartan Ops. So it may be where that sequential number might be, okay, here's the next line of the campaign, because that campaign story does take quite a while to develop.
It does.
Yeah.
So it may be just to a point where those big story pieces is what going to be that determines when a numbered version of Halo comes out. And like I was saying earlier, we may see something now where it's going to be split off, where we may see one storyline focus on the Chief and the Forerunners, and then we see another storyline focused on the UNSC, Oni, and the Covenant.
Yeah.
Hmm. Will Master Chief still be at the helm of the experience, though?
I think so, because a lot of people identify Master Chief with Halo.
Yeah, he's got to be.
And even more to that point, even more people identify Cortana with Halo.
Yeah.
Which is why there's this big whole discussion about how are they going to bring back Cortana? Should they bring back Cortana? If Cortana comes back, what's going to be her role?
Yeah.
And that's a whole other discussion that we haven't had yet on the podcast, but is going to happen at some point.
They have to have, well, I shouldn't say they have to have her, but when you look at other games that offer, I would say experiences or dialogue along the course of the campaign, it's really well done in many cases. I'm thinking about the game The Last of Us, not to talk about that game, but when you look at the dialogue and the exchange between the two characters in that game, I can see that with this new version of Cortana due to her experiences in Halo 4, what took place with her, what's going to be her new reality. I don't know what that is, but with that coming to life in the new Halo experience along the Master Chief, let's say, storyline, just playing as Master Chief and experiencing this shooting experience to that shooting experience, it has to be more than just a differentiation of gunplay. I want dialogue there that's interesting, that's emotional. I mean, the funny thing about Halo 4 is she's an AI, yet it emotionally tugged at my fibers. But I was concerned about her dying, but she's only an AI. Why is that, right? That's good writing. So I hope that they bring that to the table for Halo 5 so that as Master Chief is going along doing what he's doing, because you don't get to see him, you know.
Yeah, dude, I mean, Cortana's always been the character that's brought the humanity to Chief, right?
Yeah, Cortana's been the human element of the whole storyline so far.
Yep. Exactly.
And so they have to have something in there. I mean, whether personally, I don't want them to replace Cortana. I mean, I think having her come back, like you said, Derek, after having all those experiences that happened in Halo 4, some different variation of her would be fantastic, but... You know, do they maybe go a route? And I mean, could Master Chief potentially have another AI chip? I mean, how would that work?
That would be interesting. I mean, because we have grown accustomed to Cortana. I mean, Cortana is just as important.
I mean, just imagine hearing a male voice in your head all the time. I mean, not that would really make a difference, but a whole separate, you know, entity that you're not used to in a Halo game, that could really change the game up big time.
But they have to be careful with that.
Because that's Cortana's the one thing that's... Yeah.
Cortana's a female. And being that she's a female, we always consider, you know, male chauvinistics, we consider the female to be weaker. And so as he's rescuing her or trying to help her, right, it makes sense. So a male voice, wow, that would be crazy. But thinking about other experiences that are up and coming, Mark, like the voice in the Ghost, okay, that's cool. You know, I'm thinking about referring to Destiny, but that's really cool. So how they would do that, man, that would be interesting, very interesting. But I want a female voice.
Yeah, I want Cortana back.
I kind of want Cortana back. I wouldn't say she was necessarily a weak role, though.
No, she wasn't a weak role, but Master Chief was the pillar of the relationship, yet she brought, like Mark said, him humanity. She made him make sense. She gave him a soul, if you will, when you play. Other than that, he was just this unstoppable machine.
Yeah,
you
know, but dude, even outside of the story, like just the gameplay itself, she's the one that delivered the majority of the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That too. So not just for like the impact to him as a character, like to us as players, she was the one that we needed also to, you know, kind of direct the narrative.
Yeah, it was kind of that duality thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So. Well, and those last scenes of Halo 4 were just like heartbreaking and heart-wrenching.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, it was.
See how Cortana basically died, quote unquote, in the game, and then how Master Chief kind of dealt with it with the whole Lasky talk. Yeah. And that was bone chilling. Really.
My man said bone chilling. That's awesome. it was tough, man. It was tough because, you know, like I said, you've grown that relationship with them too. And it was like, wow, is she gone? You don't know, you know? So it's almost like we're at the mercy of 343. What are they going to do? I would like, I'm going to say this, Dustin, real quick. I would like to see something where, because the Halo universe is vast and there are other characters that are Spartans that I won't say are just as, you know, super bad as Master Chief, but some of their exploits are just so amazing. They should be interactively relived. And yes, somehow I would love for them to be put in a game that says, wow, that was awesome. And also give them more, more soul. They shouldn't be as mystique as Master Chief. He should be the only Spartan of that kind, but more personalized experiences through Spartans that were like awesome. Because if you read the books, oh my God.
Well, I mean, bring back the other Spartan twos. Bring back Fred. Bring back Linda. There's still other Spartan twos out there that we have read about in the books. And I think I don't exactly remember what the quote was, but I believe Frankie said that we would see some of those Spartan twos returning. Maybe he just meant we would see other Spartans. I don't exactly remember the quote, but I think at one point he said it would. It's a possibility we'll see the other Spartan 2s from John's former squads make a return in the Halo franchise somewhere. And I would personally like huge. To see those Spartan 2s, because that would really give another dynamic to the whole story, too. And even with Cortana now gone, for however long she's gone for, that may be able to fill in some kind of time or character development for the game, for the next game.
Yeah. I agree.
And we don't even know what kind of characters they would end up being. I mean, you know, Chief, not to say he's
well, we
he's
have cold. A general idea based on the books.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, you know, him as a cold robotic type character, you know, what were they in Fall of Reach? Is that what they were in? Or are they?
They were in a lot of books. They were in Ghost of Onyx. They were in Fall of Reach.
I mean, personality wise, are they more outgoing than Chief? And
much more.
Yeah. So yes, they're more outgoing.
Development, man, you know? So I think that would be neat.
Yeah, definitely. I would like to see them back in the game somehow, kind of integrated back in with Chief's story. And who knows, that might also bring another side of his humanity out, where Cortana might bring some aspects of it. Maybe some of his former squad mates might bring out some others. Because he's been with his squad mates since 6 years old, and he's only had Cortana for how long?
When did they go?
Taking out the time that he was in cryo, basically a matter of months.
Really?
I think
it's years. From Combat Evolved to... Years.
Combat Evolved at Halo 3 was in a matter of months.
Yeah, Dustin, you're saying, like, you know, minus cryo. Like, because Cortana minus was cryo sleep. Throughout cryo.
I want to say it's maybe approaching a year.
Wow.
That it? Really?
Huh. I think.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and check, but it's not really that long. Maybe it would be at most 2 years because of he was in cryo basically for 5, and she was approaching 8 years. I think she was definitely past 7 years. So yeah, it's not that long, really.
Wow.
And he has a lot more long lasting relationship with his squad mates. Although we have seen him really develop a very close and personal relationship with Cortana. So I think having those other Spartans that would actually bring out it has the potential, based on how 343 would write the story, to bring out other aspects and characteristics of the Chief.
Yeah. I think because he's such a loner in how he's depicted, I would say, just guesstimation, that his relationship with Cortana is the most meaningful relationship that he's had. Okay. Despite what he has done with his squad mates, with Cortana, I believe it's something that's more than just you're my squad mate. It's more to that relationship. Even despite the length of time they've been together, which seems very short in comparison, according to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's more there, because again, you know, he's leaving at the end of Halo 4. If you remember, I know you do. At the end, you know, Cortana's not with him, or so we are to assume that she's not with him when he gets back. And there's something to that. He doesn't have Cortana. Not having Cortana is brand new for him. Like, that's brand new for him. Was the elimination of Cortana this introduction to his new chapter in his life, not having her? You know, I think about that, because when you notice at the end, as he's coming back, you know, he's considered the best Spartan. The other Spartans are great, you know, in their own right. But they're looking at him like, you know, he's, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, coming back to lace him up or something. I mean, he's looking like, they're like, wow, we haven't seen this guy in years. He's the man, you know, he's the legend. And so in all that, he's like by himself, it seems like, once again. And so how are they going to develop that is quite interesting. But I thought it was longer than that, though, his relationship with Katana. You should say a month to a year? Wow.
Okay. Months, yeah. It's, I think, I'm trying to remember when exactly was the first time mentioned that Chief was paired up with Cortana. And it wasn't too long before the events of Halo 1.
So he was hooked up with Cortana before Halo Combat Evolved?
It was very shortly before then.
And are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, they made reference to it at the beginning of the game, I think. Like, yeah, but clearly they had met each other before.
No, oh, no, really? They've known each other, but it really wasn't that long. It wasn't for that long.
Mm-mm. Cortana's AI existence was before Halo Combat Evolved, sure. But was there a relationship with her and Master Chief at that time? No, there was not. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think that Master Chief and Cortana had a relationship. They just coexisted. Because at the beginning of Halo, and I may be wrong, but I'm assuming that at the beginning of Halo Combat Evolved, that's when they had to come together because her importance came into play and he had to then sort of babysit her. And that's how they got to know each other. So that's, I believe that's when they first came into contact with each other as far as a relationship as we know it.
I'm trying to find out when.
Yeah, is anybody in the chat?
The first time? Yeah, if anyone in the chat can figure that out for me.
It's in Halo Combat Anniversary right now. Y'all killing me.
it's in the book. It's in the book when they first meet. I don't remember when exactly it was. In the first book, the Fall of Reach actually has dates. So there is a date corresponding with when Chief and Cortana actually meet. And I'm just not sure when it is. But I don't think it's actually that long before the events of Halo 1.
Okay. All right.
But moving on. Back to the bulletin.
Back to the bulletin.
As you guys may have already noticed, some of the matchmaking playlists have started to be kind of combined together. So we've seen the mix of Regicide into Rumble Pit, and we've seen Legendary Slayer merge into Infinity Slayer. So there's going to be a lot of these combining of playlists just to kind of get an overall better playing experience for each playlist and to bring some new playlists into the mix. Soon they're going to be updating a new playlist, Big Team Battle, which is going to include Big Team Skirmish and Big Team Infinity Slayer. So similar to how Reach did it, where they had one playlist that was Big Team, they're doing the same thing for Halo 4, combining both of those playlists together. On on September 30th, they are going to be they're going to be removing Multi-Team, Dominion, and the Champions Bundle DLC playlist. And that's just kind of more consolidation of playlists. And the final playlist, the list of the matchmaking playlists that they're going to be having come September 30th is going to be Big Team Battle, Capture the Flag, Infinity Slayer, SWAT, Action Sack, Team Snipers, Ricochet, Team Doubles, Rumble Pit FFA, Flood FFA, Community Playlist 4v4 Team Throwdown, and Community Playlist 4v4 Griffball. So those are going to be the lists of matchmaking playlists that you're going to be having come about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks out. So definitely look for those coming in the next couple weeks. And if you have any comments or feedbacks on any of the playlists, of course, you can go over to their forums and drop them a line. Someone put in the Skype chat, did you find the date?
I'm actually looking here.
Fall of Reach. Cortana first met John prior to...
Yeah, read this. Craig found this. Yeah. It's a nice...
Prior to the Fall of Reach, that doesn't quite give us a date, though. I mean, depending
couldn't
on...
Couldn't find a date, but...
I mean, the Fall of Reach took place over, I think, less than a week. I think it was 5 days.
Yeah, I was just putting it in there because of the last line. She also developed a deep personal loyalty to John 117 that would only grow stronger.
So when Halsey made Cortana, she basically gave Cortana the choice of choosing which Spartan she wanted to be paired up with, and she chose Master Chief. She chose John.
Right. She wasn't crazy. Right. No.
Of course, he's not crazy. He's just lucky.
Yeah.
We see how well that one turns out.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Awesome.
To go on with all the updates that they're making to the matchmaking system, they're going to be having one playlist that's basically going to rotate every 2 weeks. So we've seen matchmaking updates every 2 weeks now for the last 4 or 5 months, and they're going to have one playlist that's going to be rotational. And this is the tentative rotation schedule that they have for the playlist. It's going to be King of the Hill on September 30th, Oddball on November 14th, or October 14th. Wow, I don't know why I'm saying November so much. October 28th for Forge playlist. So I'm going to assume that's in addition to the community playlist that they have. So probably similar to the Forge test maps. Test playlist that we've had, probably something similar along those lines. Then November 11th, we're going to have multi-team. November 25th, Dominion. And these two are the ones that really excite me.
Save the best for last.
December 9th, race. Actual race.
Straight up.
And then December 23rd, rocket race.
Oh, yeah. Bring back the rocket race.
Yeah, so they haven't, quote, confirmed whether or not it's going to be the dedicated like race type that we've all been wanting. But it's likely that it's going to be that. For those that don't know, there have been modded versions of the quote-unquote race game type that have been released, and they're on people's file shares. And so far, 343, it seems like this way. Frankie said this at RTX, which is an official view of 343, but so far they haven't really taken down any modded race game types. So I'm assuming what they're doing is kind of seeing how the community likes the race maps put together or the race game types and then make a game type that's official, because there is something in the code that actually has a flag. So it was almost like they were anticipating having race in the game. They just hadn't implemented it yet. So I think we'll see an actual race game type come out in the December timeframe, which would be so awesome. It'd be so much fun.
Yep.
I miss Race from Halo Reach.
I love Rocket Race. I don't know if you didn't Rocket realize
Race
that
is fun. I want to say maybe 80-85% of the time would win Rocket Race. It would always be on Hemorrhage, and I would always have the strategy of when to know when to go to a hill and when not to. Uh-huh. So most of the time when I was driving, I won.
Nice.
So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, so those are going to be the rotational playlist. That means it's going to be updated every 2 weeks with the new playlist. They are also updating some of the requirements in order to play in the playlist. So starting next week on September 16th, you will have to have the Majestic map pack to play on Infinity Slayer. So they're just kind of doing that to gauge how some people have, or whether people have bought the DLC, and also kind of to gauge what playlist they want to make DLC required. And of course, they are working on ways to make sure that if you have the DLC, that you get matched up with people who also have the DLC, so you can be playing those DLC maps when you enter into matchmaking.
Isn't that the worst when you get DLC and like you go in there and you just can't play the maps? It's the worst. So that's good. That's smart.
It usually doesn't happen in matchmaking, at least from what I've seen. If people don't have the DLC maps, then it doesn't give the option to vote for the DLC maps.
Right. I'm just thinking of a game like right now. I mean, this is obviously not Halo, but like Battlefield 3. Like if you go back now and get those maps they released through premium as time went on, and you download one of those packs, which unfortunately I did recently, nobody's playing those maps. You know, just rarely do I find a server that's hosting those, and it's just like, oh man, come on. So kind of almost feels like wasted money. So that's good they're doing that.
That's cool. Good. So Mighty Sandwich posted in the chat on August 29th. 2552, the alternate fragment of Cortana was inserted into John Woman 7's Mjolnir Mark V armor for the first time. So, that confirms my suspicion that Cortana and Chief really haven't known each other for at least more than a year. It's literally been months, because the events of Halo took place in September of 2552.
Okay.
And what's Halo 4?
I believe it's 2557.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So from the time that John's been, quote, unquote, awake, it's literally been months that they've known each other.
Wow, that is so crazy.
I know, right? Awesome.
Have a relationship like that too.
It's like, wake up, you sleep all the time. Can we have a conversation?
Get up, John, get up.
Wow.
Yeah. So 343 is also acknowledging some of the hiccups and bugs that they've had with the Champions bundle. So they are currently trying to fix some of the issues. Some of the ones that they highlight here on the bulletin are that the Prefect, Mark V, and Ricochet armors display, or the forearms specifically, display as ODST in the first-person point of view in custom games and matchmaking. So they're working on that one. Also, some forge items and the scenery and gadget palettes of Majestic and Castle maps, map packs, will have incorrect labels. I'm not sure how that works, how another DLC affects a DLC like that, but
yeah, it's weird.
That's apparently a bug that they're working. Also, non-host players in Forge mode will be unable to see their monitors through gamertag, though gamertags will still hover. The host of the game is able to see all monitors, and there's no additional gameplay impact. All other Forge features are fully accessible. And the last big thing that they have is loadouts are reset, and Spartan points are refunded when a new loadout slot is unlocked. This occurs at SR6, SR14, SR26, and SR41. And all other times as well. When you reach these levels, you will need to repurchase all items and redo your loadouts. No Spartan points will be lost.
Cool.
So for everyone that hasn't reached the SR130 yet, whenever you rank up to a point where you unlock a new loadout, you have to repurchase all your stuff again.
It's a pain.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yep.
You would think some kind of bug testing would be done. Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, but I mean, you almost wonder, though, how many people playing at this point are those lower levels? You know, because what, SR41 is the low... Well, I mean, not to say that's a low level, but...
I was actually playing with someone, I think, yesterday for our customs night, and they were, I think, level 31.
Okay.
So there are people that really haven't played that much, and I actually know some people that they're mostly into the campaign. So they just play the campaign mostly over and over again, and they don't do much matchmaking.
Right,
so those people are low levels as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And they jump into matchmaking every now and then. But it's not something that they constantly do.
Now, is this for people that only purchased the DLC? Or is this anybody now? Because the Champions Bundle is out.
So, I would assume that it's only people that have purchased the DLC.
Okay.
So, let's do a new thing for Spartan Ops. They're actually looking into rerunning all the episodes from season one, but with a twist. So they're including the Grunt Birthday Party, the I Would Have Been Your Daddy skull, and the Mythic skull on to them. So the Grunt Birthday Party and the I Would Have Been Your Daddy are more just fun skulls. They're funny little quirks to the game, but the Mythic skull is the big kicker for the game. And that one basically doubles the health of your enemies.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's rough.
So if you thought Legendary in Spartan Ops was hard, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So.
Somebody will do it, though. Just give it time. Somebody will do it.
Yep.
Definitely.
So that's what they're going to be doing for the Spartan Ops playlist here. They haven't said when exactly they would be implementing that, but expect it to be coming down the pipeline some point here soon.
Hmm.
So, there's a couple other little updates down here at the end, but mostly just updates to matchmaking specifically. I'm not sure what other updates we'll see from here on out. The Halo 4 Global Championship is over, so all those updates are kind of done for now.
Question with you real quick, man. I want to cut you off, but going back to that, you mentioned it in the very beginning and how you guys are going to have a show soon about that. Just you know, as a big Halo fan, how do you think it went? You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of other games that have kind of did a contest like that where you were able for what, 4 weeks, right? Going to these playlists.
Yeah.
And play your best and have the chance to actually be invited out to this championship. I mean, as a whole, how is the community? I mean, has everybody been pretty positive about it?
So it's gotten mixed responses, at least from the portion that was done online. The stuff from RTX and Gamescom for those qualifiers and what actually happened at PAX, everyone was pretty cool and really appreciate how those went. But the online qualifier brought out a lot of aspects from just how the tournament was run that a lot of people didn't really like. And some of those things, I don't know how much you guys were tuned into the news, but there were people using multiple accounts. There were people using logout glitches to where games that they weren't doing so well in, they could just quit out and it wouldn't count against them. So just a lot of things from an administrative side and things that 343 and Virgin Gaming could have done to kind of prevent some of those cheating-like aspects just were massively brought out. But with that said, if they do approach another tournament, which it would make sense if they do, because this was I think it was titled the Summer Global Championship. So who knows if they might do one for like the winter or something. And it may be very possible that they come out with another tournament. But as far as the championship at PAX, oh my gosh, was that fun to watch. It was probably some of the best Halo I have ever seen.
That's awesome. That's what they wanted, right? I mean, that's exactly what 343 wanted, was to actually have everybody just get excited about competitive Halo.
Yeah. And the hall that it was out, I think it was probably 3/4 full, maybe 7/8 full of people in there. It was so much fun to watch. The atmosphere was intense. The commentators were really into it. It was one of the best experiences for being a Halo fan that you could have ever watched or participated in. It was so much fun. And I really hope that they do it again, because despite everything that happened, all the mess ups and all the bad feedback that people have gotten just from the administrative part of the tournament, from the online portion, take that away and the rest of the tournament was very well done. And the finals at the championship was so much fun. I mean, like I said, it was one of the best, if not the best, Halo to watch, in my opinion.
Nice. Awesome.
Granted, like it was all pros. It was people that most people, if you follow competitive Halo, know. It was all pros that were on highly recognizable teams. But the gameplay was it turned out in such a way where it was the most fun Halo that you could watch.
Well, let me ask you this then, man. I mean, you know, you saying that it was people that you knew, teams that you know. Did anybody actually, did any unknowns get in through the global championship?
So there were.
Or is it just kind of like, well, the usual people, of course, are going to get in.
So there was one person that got highlighted from RTX. His name was Toxic Nick, which he's just kind of a casual player, but he did very well. And I think he placed, I want to say second or I think maybe fourth from RTX. And he showed his stuff off at RTX. He was a very good player. A lot of people wanted to see him go through to the final eight. Unfortunately, he got knocked out kind of early. But it does show that there is some room for people to come in and not just pros. The only thing is, pros actually play a lot. And it's hard to see.
But you know what, dude? I mean, that means that the tournament that they put together, if the cream of the crop, the pros did actually make it in, that shows that they, you know, they made it in because they should have made it in, and they should be pros because, you know,
they're good at the game.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's good.
But no, there were other people that definitely got in based on their skill. And there was a group of people, me included, that got invites from 343 to go out and participate. Granted, it's not like we were going to do very well. I mean, we're a lot more casual players. There are some among us more casual communities that are above average at the game, but nothing along the lines of the pro players. But I think one of the things that this tournament at least was trying to go for, although I don't think it quite achieved it, but they were trying to do it, was bring other people and give other people that weren't pros a chance at showing off that they can play Halo. And there are those people that are there, don't participate in pro circuits or anything because they either don't have the money, or it's just maybe they just don't know that side of Halo, like if there's an actual proper league or anything. And this tournament was just a way to say, oh, we want to recognize some other people that may be out there that may be very talented. So I think we saw that with Toxic Nate, where when he was at RTX, he was able to shine, and he outbeat some other pros that were at RTX as well. So there is definitely other Halo talent out there that is not exclusive or all inclusive into the pro teams that we have now in AGL.
So Dustin, was part of that tournament held online, or was it all local? Okay.
So there was that. Yeah, there was a portion of the online tournament. It was 5 weeks of online play, and the top four from each week was basically entered into the top 32 bracket for the championship, and that was included with the top six from RTX. Is either top six or top four from Gamescom, and then there were invites for people that placed in top or first settings for AGL 3 through 8 of this year. So those people that either participated in the online portion, participated in either Gamescom or RTX, or got the invite because of the AGL stuff, were placed in the top 32, and then there were additional invite spots that 343 dished out that on Friday of the convention was played out, and then the 32 from there merged into the existing 32, and then it was the 64 that got broken down all the way down to 8, and then the championships for the top 8 were on Sunday.
Okay, cool.
So that's kind of how the tournament broke down. But the atmosphere for the championship was some of the best. It was one of the best game experiences I've ever had, especially with Halo. And it was awesome. Funny because one of the other people I was hanging out with, people on our podcast will know him, but Minolta from Ready Up Live, he was actually at the league finals that was in another part of PAX, and he came over to Halo and he said that the league stuff didn't compare in terms of attitude and atmosphere and fervor that people had for Halo. So,
wow,
Halo is very much still a competitive game. And I think having this tournament sponsored by 343, specifically the people that actually developed the game, is a good kickstart to get competitive Halo back on its feet and get people really interested into tuning back into it as a competitive game.
Awesome.
So I'm sure we'll see developments sometime along down the line of maybe another tournament coming up. Maybe we'll do another one next year before Halo 5 launches, something like that. But it's definitely showing that 343 is interested in the competitive community and that they're willing to help pay and help put on a tournament, just like we've seen for League and like we've seen Activision do for Call of Duty. So I think it's a good step for the Halo community. End rant.
Hey, you got to, man, right? You got to.
Yeah.
I mean, because Halo's always been there. It always has, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now to have it. I mean, when did MLG drop it? It was
November of last year. They had they had the one event in Dallas that was the last event of the year. And they had Halo 4 basically 3 days before it came out. So it was the weekend before Halo came out. They had the tournament there, and people came out and cheered for it. Granted, it was in this back corner of MLG, so at the end of it, people were basically blocking other people from getting out because people were just sitting on the floor around this small back corner of the convention center.
Yeah.
But that was the last time, and then they just decided to drop it.
Well, that's good, man. It's good they're doing things like this, and like you said, especially because 343 themselves are behind it. I mean, that's... You know, you can't ask for more than that. So
right.
That's good.
And I think that's kind of one of the things that was needed, where it was direct developer support behind the game. So
nice.
That pretty much wraps up the bulletin for this week, guys.
An hour in, you know.
Yeah.
Short bulletin, right? A little short bulletin.
Well, I mentioned that I would get in a little bit into the PAX stuff.
Nice.
We will be saving a lot more of that for the podcast for next week. But for now, One other thing before we move into the Destiny stuff is another little tidbit of information that came out while we were gone. Well, actually, two tidbits of information. One is we have a launch date for the Xbox One. Go figure. Right. So yeah. On November 22nd of this year, which is the week before Thanksgiving week, I believe. I know. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually a week before Black Friday?
It is, yeah. It comes out on a Friday. So late Thursday night, obviously, you know, I'm sure people will be lining up to get that thing.
So it's November 22nd, which is the Friday, 8 days before. No, sorry. A week before Black Friday.
A week after the PS4.
Yeah, a week after the PS4, a week before Black Friday. So, yeah. Yes. People's wallets are going to be empty this year at Christmas time.
Absolutely.
This holiday season. So that was announced. We talked about that a little bit. At least we made a post on our website. And also, another little interesting tidbit of information is for the Windows Phone side of things. So right now, the code name, at least we think it's a code name. It's subject to change. It's not anything final yet, but we know how Siri is on iPhone is basically the voice helper app, but on Windows Phone, right now the code name is Cortana. So that brings to light maybe...
Oh, man.
We might see Cortana be the Siri equivalent of Windows Phone.
I didn't hear that. That would be insane.
That would be so awesome.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was...
You know what, dude? They should make that. Like, what is it? Is it the Tom Toms where you can go in and change the voice of your GPS?
It's one of those GPSs.
I think it's the Tom Tom. Like, they should do that. Like that. I've never even thought of that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Wow.
So that was something that came up earlier today, actually. That the speech recognition, the speech service, is codenamed Cortana at the moment. It would be cool if Jen Taylor actually voiced that. And it would be very iconic to the Windows platform.
It would be amazing.
But I thought that was cool. That was one of those cool little tidbits of information that came out today. It's like, ooh, this would be really awesome and good reason for me to get a Windows phone.
How do you think they even record that audio? You know, because like Siri's very, it's a female voice, but it's very robotic. But if you're going to do a voice like that, that's very, like people know that voice. And I mean, just the amount of things that people could be searching. I mean, how do you come up with that? I mean, she's going to be sitting in that studio. Forever. I mean,
Siri is, well, so it's not you're actually saying every line, though. It's you're saying.
Right. Exactly.
There's a linguistic term for it. I don't remember what it is.
Don't they use a voice modulator to take the sound of your voice and then they add it to a track of different sayings that's typed in? And so they'll take that voice, just like with the Google Voice. Google Voice sounds a lot more organic than Siri. And if you ask her who is Kobe Bryant or where's the nearest restaurant, how she answers, it's all just based on a voice over that just translates the words. And so with Cortana, it wouldn't be, I don't think, as fluent as Cortana in the movie.
True.
In the game, but it would be definitely recognizably.
Then I don't
Cortana.
Want it, Derek. Then I don't want it.
Well, like the voice that's over. It's Google Voice and then Google Maps has it too. It's a lot more natural speech, and I think it's just how the technology's evolved since Siri has come out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't think Siri has changed that much.
Siri's been out 2 years now?
Three years? Yeah. So it's evolved.
But one thing about Siri that I like a lot is the fact that she does more than just answer your questions. There's a bit of a humor to her.
A wit.
I think you could do that with Cortana. I think you could easily do that with Cortana.
My point is, I would like that. Like, I would love to say things like, hey, Cortana, I'm really Master Chief. And she'd be like, no, you're not. You know, I know who he really is. Our relationship was whatever, whatever. I would hope they added something like that to it. They'd be like, oh, my God, this is amazing. You know, so you can really think that it's really Cortana. That would be cool. That'd be really good.
Yeah.
So whether or not it's actually going to be Jen Taylor doing a whole... like text to speech and navigation stuff is still up in the air. They haven't come out with anything official yet, but that would be really cool if they actually did.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Makes sense too, right? Perfect sense, I think.
Oh yeah.
I still wouldn't buy a Windows phone, but it'd be nice.
Aw. The one reason I'm staying with Droid right now or Android is because they have physical keyboards. Which is kind of a requirement for me. So
it's not an on-screen keyboard, man. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's a physical QWERTY keyboard, not like the iPhone or not like any other current Windows phones. So that's kind of why I'm sticking with Android at the moment. But this might be enough to turn me over to a Windows phone.
Really?
I'm a sucker for Halo. What can I say? I'm a Halo fanboy. I'll admit it.
Nothing wrong with that. The game is awesome.
It is.
The series is great. Yeah, it is. It's great.
Hence why we've been doing the podcast on it for
308
years.
No doubt.
It's an expanding and growing universe.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. On to the other meat of the discussion for tonight. We have some Destiny stuff to talk about, which is why we have the folks over from Guardian Radio on the show. So they were kind enough to have me on their show and talk about some Halo stuff. Although I would have hoped it would have been a little bit more positive light in regards to Halo, but never mind that. We got some good Halo stuff in here. So now it's time to turn to Destiny. So, of course, for those of you who don't know or have been living under a rock and haven't been listening to our podcast for the last 3-4 months or so, Destiny is the next and greatest IP from Bungie under their agreement with Activision. So it's kind of coming out to be a really interesting take on a first-person shooter. So I feel it's taking a few aspects from Borderlands and stuff they've already done with Halo and adding some new and interesting things to it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I think the biggest thing, man, really, I think with the game that is going to be interesting. I mean, you mentioned Borderlands, and that's the one game that whenever, even on our show or whenever you hear anybody talking about it,
yep.
I mean, that's the game that's out there that a lot of people can equate it to because of all the loot. I mean, they're mentioning there's going to be loot, armors. You have this character that is pretty much persistent. However, I think the biggest thing is, for Bungie at least, is they were some of the initial innovators of matchmaking in Halo and how it teams you up with other people to play against. And basically, they're bringing that system to the next level with Destiny by having it constantly running in the background. So unlike an MMO where you're logging into one specific server, and if somebody's in that area on that server, you're going to see them. And if they're maybe on another server in the same area, you're not going to see them. What Destiny's going to do is just team you up with other people who are just out there. So it's constantly matchmaking in the background, and you're just going on these, you know, epic quests throughout the galaxy. And, you know, I mean, come on, we all know how the shooters that Bungie makes, to take that, just the actual physical gameplay of it, and put you in these, you know, epic, you know, sweeping stories. Destiny is just going to be something special, I think, for a lot of people. And I mean, they've even come out just recently and said that Destiny is going to be a hobby. It's a 10-year plan that they have on the table. And rather than say it's just a game you're going to play, it's a hobby for people, which obviously, I mean, Dustin, you know how that is. I mean, Halo, here we are on Podtacular talking about Halo. Halo is your hobby, and that's what Bungie's going to do. And they're going in this time knowing what happened with Halo and how this expanded universe happened. They're planning that ahead of time and bringing it, you know, to the table, rather than coming out with the game and then saying, oh, wow, we can do these books, we can do all these other things. And right now, we don't know about books for Destiny, but you can guarantee they're going to be there. There's going to be a companion app for the game, and they keep saying how you're always going to be connected to this world. And, you know, we're all speculating that you're going to be able to. I mean, they showed it briefly in the announcement video, but you could see your character, you could see your gear. And, you know, they keep saying that you're going to somehow be able to stay connected to this living, breathing world of Destiny. And through the app, you know, we're all speculating and hoping that we're going to be out, you know, at dinner or shopping at the mall or whatever. And then you're going to get a notification on your phone and still be able to be involved with what's happening in Destiny. So I think, you know, for a lot of folks, it's just going to be a whole different experience than what people are used to from other persistent games, you know? Yeah.
And one of the things that you brought up on a podcast recently was the fact that Bungie has said you can take the game in however long chunks that you want. So whether it's you want to just hop in for 5 minutes or if you want to spend hours on end in Destiny, the game is going to be designed in such a way where you can do that. Halo, it's not quite as mashable and freeform as that. It's if you're in Halo, you're in there for probably about 15 minutes in one game if you're doing matchmaking. And if you're doing campaign, you're usually not in there just for 5 minutes or something. But Destiny is being built in such a way where it's going to accommodate anyone's lifestyle. And that's a very, I find that is one of the more tricky things to do in gaming, because usually it's hard to develop a game around an experience in that way. It's easier to build an experience around the functionality of a game, but when it comes to the actual playability and timer that people are willing to commit to a game, that I think is probably one of the more trickier aspects of gaming to really nail. And I think Bungie is probably one of the better better developers to actually accomplish that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, one of the interesting things too about Destiny, I mean, and it even goes back to the fact, like you just said, you know, you could hop in for 5 minutes, do something, or hop in for 30, is that the world they claim, this world that they're creating, every time you sign in, there's going to be something different happening. It's this, you know, there are these procedurally generated events that happen. They call them public events. And you saw that at E3 at the Sony press conference when they showed, you know, the guys walk out and they're in old Russia. They come out of this old abandoned area and suddenly this fallen ship flies in overhead and it's on. And as they go to, you know, where the ship is landing, dropping the enemies, suddenly there's some other people in the area that come in. So you could just sign on theoretically for 10 or 15 minutes, experience one of those events, and then jump out.
Right.
You know, and so every time you're in, there's something happening in the world and it's always going to be different. And you're going to have these social hubs, obviously, where you can go in. And, you know, for people that haven't been following Destiny too much, I mean, this really sounds like an MMO, but they're very quick to point out that it's not. But, you know,
into that a little bit, because that is one of the kind of common misconceptions about Destiny, that it is, in essence, an MMO in some cases, but it's really not. So dive into that a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, the biggest thing with it and MMOs, I think, and, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm speaking here on behalf of you know, Bungie, or at least on the community here. So I don't want to put words in their mouths, you know, because, again, they keep saying that it's not an MMO. But when you look at what MMOs are, right, they're this big persistent world where you create a persistent character and essentially tell your own stories. So, yes, there is a story, an overarching story that's happening. We've seen a little bit of it in some of the trailers of Destiny. And Bungie's even come out and said that they have a beginning and an end. So they know where the story is going to go over these 10 years and what the overarching reason for us being here and us being these guardians throughout the world. However, there is no real main character. So unlike Halo, where you have Master Chief, who's the face of the franchise, in Destiny, you are the face. You create your guy. So, you know, that's where... the MMO part of it is where you are creating your stories and the adventures that you go on with your friends. That's what is, you know, essentially the story aspect of it. But in terms of, you know, it being like an MMO, I mean, it's got to be just the loot fact of it, the persistence. It's always this character that you're playing that they're expecting you to play for these 10 years. You're not just going to, you know, hop in, play Destiny, quote unquote, one, and then move on to Destiny 2 with a whole separate character. You will be playing the same character through all these games. And even, I mean, they haven't come out and said it, but what we're kind of guessing is that even though there may potentially be a Destiny 2, we're hoping at least that we'll be able to visit back to areas in Destiny 1. Because, you know, right now in Destiny 1, you are in, or I should just say in Destiny, you are in our universe. So you're going to visit the planets that we know of. You're not really getting outside of our solar system. However, moving forward, and the way a little bit about we know kind of where the game's going,
DLC, all that stuff,
we're going to be outside the solar system at some point. But you always got to expect outside of the Earth getting blown up or whatever is going to happen in the first game, we would hope that we could still return to those areas. So it really doesn't matter whether you play Destiny 2 or Destiny 3. It's just this world. You know, you're getting maybe access to more content, but it's always this world. And that's where the MMO comes in, because, I mean, go play World of Warcraft now. You can still go to any of the cities that came out with the first initial title, you know, even though the expansions, like the new one, Mists of Pandaria, you can go to the Panda Islands or whatever they are,
whatever it is,
but still go back to the original areas because that's the world that they created. And Destiny, or Bungie, every time they talk about Destiny, it's the world. They're creating this world for us to go on adventures in, rather than we're creating, you know, a story of Master Chief and that's where we're going. So
that's cool. And as far as the other aspect from the MMO side, the whole kind of public event thing, I think that's another misconception, or that's kind of where the MMO tag gets pulled from. Because as we saw from the E3 demo, it was how many people in there? Like, what, 16, maybe more?
What do we say, Craig? Was it 12, I think, is what it ended up being?
Or did they say like how many that could possibly potentially be up to a max or something?
No, they're still working that out. Now, however, we do know there's public events, and then there will also be raids. So if you know, like in an MMO, I mean, some raids can go up to, you know, 100 people or whatever, just depending on the game. I mean, I know WoW caps it out much lower than that. But raids are massive, massive missions that tons of people go on. And Bungie has hired raid designers and have even said the word raid multiple times in interviews. So there will be those within the game, too. So and all we've seen are the public events. So we don't know what the raids are going to pertain to. But, you know. They're basically balancing out, you know, I think how many people. And I think one of the mail sacks actually recently, Deej, was saying that they're not quite sure what the numbers are going to be or where they're going to fall in yet. Because you know, it's just more of a balancing issue. And it's probably even going to depend on the platform you play. I mean, right now it's coming out both current and next gen. You know, I would assume that the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 versions won't be able to handle the amount of people in a raid that the PS4, the Xbox One can handle. So mm-hmm. it's going to be probably different depending on which platform you play on.
Now, one of the other things that either I'm expecting too much or it's just we're still waiting on stuff to come out, but it seems like the story behind Destiny, it still seems kind of shallow to me. Like, we know that there are different classes. We know about the Fallen. We know that the Traveler has come here. But other than that, I don't know. Is it just me, or is the story still kind of...
It's not you, man. I mean, it is. It's
okay. So it's still kind of very much hidden from us at this point.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we know, like Mark said, about the surface items that Bungie's given us, from the initial beautiful conceptual art to the wonderful videos that they've given us that hint at new gameplay that we've seen that we talked about on our last show, referring to the Hunter character. Other than that, though, however, we've just seen just wonderful vistas and environments that, you know, are like, wow, very compelling and look great. But as far as the story is concerned, the relationship between the Guardians and the Traveler itself, and the history of some of the dynamic looking enemies, such as the Fallen, we really don't have our nails in it just yet. That's what keeps our
But I mean, that's the whole point of it. I mean, the Traveler, which, you know, I'm sure everybody's seen the image of this sphere hovering over the Earth. All we know is that thing came to Earth, sparked what's called the Golden Age, when we were all endued with these powers. So like the Warlocks, you see them shooting Nova bombs. It's basically like fireballs out of their fists, and all the different classes have their own abilities in that. And we know that somehow we're channeling that from the Traveler. Sparks this Golden Age, and then something happened. And the way the wordage is, something happened, something knocked us down. We don't know what that is. And when the Traveler arrived, we were able to branch out to the other planets in our solar system, build these massive temples and all these places. But thousands of years have passed, and those areas are destroyed. So us as Guardians in the game, when we take over the game, we're spreading out into the solar system and discovering places where we've been before, but are no longer, you know, civilized by us. You know, so you're going to go to these planets, exactly, which is on Earth. But then there's places like on Venus, you're going to go like the Black Garden on Venus, which is, there's a structure there, no idea what's there. And like, that's going to be the exciting part of this game, is when you go out, you don't know what you're going to encounter out there. Number one, because a lot of it's going to be just kind of generated from the world, this living, breathing world. But number two, it's uncharted areas for the Guardians. You know, when they go to those places, they don't even know what's there. So that's going to be the fun of the game, is getting with your friends and just going to these different locales and trying to figure out what's happened. You know, that's the whole point of the game. That's why we don't know much about the story, is because they want us to experience that through playing it and kind of piece it all together ourselves.
Yeah. Mm. I'm just looking for a few more hooks into the storyline of the game. It looks interesting at this point, but there's, at least for me, there's nothing that's like a deep hook. It's like, okay, I am dead excited for this game. There's nothing that's quite there yet in terms of the story behind Destiny, I feel. Mm. And maybe that's coming. Maybe that's something that Bungie will drop before the game comes out. But I'm still waiting for that hook, line and sinker, to come out.
And that's more, you're saying that that's something that's more story driven for you?
Yeah, like for the one thing that really got me into Halo was the story. And it's one of the things that I still really appreciate about Halo. Even though I love the multiplayer, I love playing with friends, but the story and the whole Halo universe is one of the things that's really appealing to me. It's the universe. It's whole thing is the interest to me, and I know Bungie has to keep some of that stuff under wraps until the game comes out, right. But I'm still waiting for that one little tease, that one little thing. And Bungie's good at this; they're pretty good at this. That one little tease, it might be something small and significant, but it turns out to be that biggest hook, line, and sinker that you can possibly have for a game. And I'm waiting for that.
Well, let me ask you this: I think I've asked you this before. You've never played an MMO, right?
No.
No, and like that's the one thing that I think, the fact that Bungie's making this game and we have all these Halo fans coming over, you know, to thinking it's just another shooter, which of course it's going to have a shooter. There's going to be competitive multiplayer. They've confirmed that. Still, as of yet, we don't know exactly what that is. But, you know, I can't wait for just shooter fans who you've played Borderlands, so you kind of grasp some of that. But to experience the idea of creating this character and truly... they are you in a game. Like when I play a game, and I mean, this may sound corny, but I kind of portray myself into those characters. And like MMOs have always been just crazy appealing to me, and I get in them, but I always end up falling out at some point, usually just because of the time commitment, you know, and all that. But like knowing this game from Bungie, first person shooter, more my style of play, and finally I can go out there and be this character and, right, you know, be this persona. I mean, it's crazy when you think back to a game like EverQuest that came out. It was a big MMO for the time, obviously, but then World of Warcraft hit, millions of people experienced it as their first MMO and have continued. I mean, yes, their numbers have fallen off, you know, over the years, but I mean, people who never thought that they would play a game like that have found themselves captivated by portraying a character in a game that is truly them. And I think this game is going to be basically that for shooter fans, because I don't think anybody's, if you haven't experienced a game like that or just that itch, that, you know, I really, really think that this is going to be the game to do that. And for me, that's why it's appealing. Like the idea to have a game that is my style of play, shooters, you know, that I love to play in mm-hmm. the vein of a Bungie game, you know, with those mechanics. I mean, visually, it looks great. To me, I like not really knowing so much about the story right now. The mystery of I'm going to be the one that's going to go out and figure right. it out and dig through it all. And, you know, for some people, that may not be the thing. But I'm telling you, Dustin, I know you're going to love it, man. I know it, dude. Especially you being a lore guy. I mean, you know there's going to be nuggets everywhere in this game as everybody's trying to piece it all together. It's going to come together nice. Definitely.
Also, too, Dustin, I got to say, man, you know, I'm also pulling at, you know, what the story is going to be like. What's the story going to be like? But I believe that those hints right now that are really attractive are just looking at the idea, like Mark had mentioned, that follows the idea of the traveler with the guardians. And then you said earlier how Halo is not quite like Destiny. Well, Destiny is in a completely different stratosphere. However, it's pulling Halo's campaign and the multiplayer and making it one seamless universe world that you can experience. So, you know, when you look at most shooters, it follows the linear story of one main character, if you will, right?
Right.
However, Halo talks about, you know, you got Master Chief at the helm of it, almost like Darth Vader. But when you read the novels, you have these other stories that are very compelling. But at the heart of it, you have Master Chief. Well, the beautiful thing about Destiny is it's not – okay, how do I say it? Every character that is a real person in real life, you and I, the guardian that you embody and that you play, the way in which you go about tackling Destiny – the story unfolds and you are given what I think is so amazing is this unique experience where you, so to speak, are the Master Chief of that universe.
Right. And I get that. Yeah. But the one thing is there's always some kind of centralized story in a game, though. Yeah. You can go along the lines of how the developer has all these different pathways and you basically build your own character, but there's still one big underlying story element that right. everyone goes through. And it's that one big storyline element, which I don't think they've really released much to anything about yet. Because
they haven't released details, man. But here's the story for you. What the hell happened? Like, that's exactly. that to me, that's the story. Is like, because here, the traveler, this thing that supposedly sparked this golden age, we see it in shambles hanging above the earth, but yet somehow it gave us these abilities that make us almost these superheroes. And when we go out to planets, how come we can breathe on Venus? I don't know. How did it get terraformed like that? Why is there this structure there? What's in that structure? You know, humans were here at some point, but why are these other creatures there? Like, and that to me.
And why is the traveler ruined? Why is it in the state of what seems to be ruin? So, like you said, Dustin, sure, right now it's very early. Right now we're just kind of trying to piece together the puzzle of the mystery. But I believe that once we start playing it and once they start, you know, get closer to launch and unfolding things like, what was the golden age? Okay, the golden age, that sounds great. You know, it sounds like a wonderful Renaissance time, right? Movement. But what was it? What did it consist of?
That would be cool, man. If they rather than, and this may even kind of hook Dustin a little bit more, is rather than show us like necessarily the story of Destiny, show us all the stuff from the past. Show us the golden age. Show us all these planets as they were. And then when you get that game in your hand and it's no longer like that, that's the story of the game. What the hell happened to all that stuff?
Right. Well, it's almost like
going to be important.
Right. It's almost like don't know, maybe it's just in the way that they've advertised it so far. It's not really putting too much emphasis on, okay, what happened to the Traveler? And it's more maybe it's just more they're focused on the gameplay. Maybe that's what's throwing me off. Maybe I'm waiting for that one video that's specifically focused back on the Traveler and really bringing into perspective what it is you are trying to figure out in the big picture. Your story is going to be unique to your own, but what's that big picture? What's that big question of the game? And I don't think that big question has been highlighted.
I think in Halo, you have the Halo ring, right? You have that as like the visual, and that sort of leads you to wonder about what else is going on in the universe. Whereas in Destiny, at this point, all we have is the Traveler. They haven't revealed enough about the solar system or anything, but we're just too early, I think. So I think
I think you nailed it. I think that's kind of the one thing that I know it's coming. I'm just
when it comes,
I'm going to be like, now's the time I have to pay attention to Destiny hardcore.
You know, I don't believe that. And see, Dustin, most of us, we're truly like staked in the ground, invested in Halo. We've been there. We've done that. Some of us have read some of the books. I have. It's been we've done that. And so we have a lot of expectations for what Bungie's going to do next. Right. And so that's why I believe a lot of what you're saying is true. Bungie has not really just come out and said, hey, this is what it is. This is what it does. I believe they haven't done it because it's brand new and it's such a broad experience. Right. So I don't think that we'll truly understand or be able to kind of centralize the idea of Destiny until we are playing it. There is not a marketing campaign or plan I believe Bungie can implement that says this is what this game is, bullet pointed, top down, that's it. I don't think they can ever do that. I really believe that it's going to take gamers jumping into it to truly take it in and experience it and understand the centralized message of the game. But then I think everything around that big message, the Traveler and what it all is going to truly be masterfully done and the true experience of it. Because going back to Halo for a second, you play Halo in a campaign mode. It's a beginning and there's an end. Theoretically, Destiny doesn't have that.
No.
It doesn't have a beginning and an end. It has a beginning.
That is true.
But the end, right? It doesn't have an end. So it's like you're continuing to play, but you go into this experience one afternoon or one evening, and how much time did you really spend on the centralized part of the campaign as opposed to these private events or just journeying off when you're doing your own thing that had nothing to do with it? So again, going back to the whole MMO idea, I think it's so much more than what we've experienced from a campaign. Okay, we're done with the campaign, going to the multiplayer. It's so beyond that, that's why it's going to be so hard for them to market it to the traditional shooter fan of this is what this is, no more, no less. They can't do that. You have to play it. That's what I believe.
All right, Dustin, I'm going to pose a hypothetical to you. I have no idea if this is true or not, but let's say that you start the game, or in some future trailer, you look at Mars and they pan down to Mars and there's another Traveler somewhere on Mars. Would that get you interested?
That would definitely pique my interest.
So I feel like it's something like that, where we learn there are multiple Halo rings and there's this big sort of, you know, mythology behind it.
There's one big secret that the Fallen have, and they need to, if they hint on that, then it'd be like, okay, now I'm interested. Now I got to figure out what that is. Now I got to figure out why maybe something the Fallen has something that has pushed them back, and maybe that's why the Traveler's in such a decay. Even up to the
point of launch, though, they're not going to give us something like that. They're going to give us a visual that makes you sort of wonder.
That's all we need, Craig. That's all. Yeah. I don't want any more, man. I don't want no more either, man. I mean, actually, Mighty Sandwich in the Twitch chat here, to bring this up, he mentioned interview early on, and this is what Deej said. Deej is, for those of you that haven't really been following Bungie as of late, Deej is the current community manager. He said, it's not that I don't know or that I don't want you to know, and he's referring to the story of the game. It's just that I would rather you experience it for yourself.
Exactly.
And that says it all. It's like, that's what this game is. It's about the experience and going through it rather than, you know, because again, I mean, Halo, obviously you experience the campaign of Halo. I mean, you know, nobody knows going into it what's going to happen at the end.
I have no idea.
But, you know, you could read the back of the box. It gives you a little bit of bullet points about the story, where, you know, Destiny is not It's not going to be that at all. I think people, you know, I mean, who knows? This game, we keep saying it's kind of the next evolution of shooters in terms of the way it's structured of the matchmaking and meeting up with all these people cooperatively kind of throughout the world. But I mean, it could even be, you know, a new evolution of shooters for how a story is told, you know, because it's not going to be your typical campaign, you know, point A to point B. You're to get from point A to point B, you're going to have to go all over the place and have all these, maybe a 5-minute experience, maybe a 2-hour experience. I mean, even the competitive multiplayer, all that carries into your character into the main storyline. Like everything you do, that's one piece that we do know, like weapons that you unlock or find in the game and start leveling up. Cause that's another kind of difference of Destiny is when you find weapons, they level up. So there's skill trees to every weapon you find. And as you go up those trees, your guns and all that are going to tell where you've been. People will be able to see it, not necessarily maybe just look at it and see how long you've been playing, but they know it's an epic piece of loot and you've leveled it up a certain way. And that's going to carry over to the multiplayer.
Right.
So, and back and forth, everything you do in the game is just one seamless
experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, there already is a lot of hype for this game. And I think the majority of people are probably going to get Destiny shortly after or day one when it comes out. But I think there's just those niche few, and I'm going to get Destiny. I already have it pre-ordered and everything, but there's
what
still
console?
Xbox 360.
360, really? Okay.
Well, that was because I pre-ordered it when they announced it, and they hadn't announced the consoles yet. So yeah, it'll translate to Xbox One.
Yeah, right.
But I think there's just still maybe a couple other little tidbits, which I'm assuming are going to be coming out that will just tease that just tiny bit more to push more people over the edge. And then another thing is we haven't seen too much in terms of the matchmaking stuff either. I know that's more of a recent announcement.
You're talking about what, like competitive?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we haven't. All they've said is it's just there. And we've seen the recent trailer, the Out Here in the Wild trailer that they released at Gamescom, had a little bit of footage of three Guardians. You can see they were fighting on this one map that looks to be somewhere on Mars. And that's about it. Like, there really isn't much shown. But, you know, we do see them throwing their abilities. So we see the Nova Bomb thrown and all these special abilities that the Guardians have. But yeah, we don't know. I mean, they kind of speculated early on about winnings from multiplayer matches. So we're all thinking that maybe you can gamble, throw money out there, because of course there's going to be some sort of currency in the game to buy loot. They even mentioned at one point there's going to be a whole crafting system in the game. So you're going to be able to make weapons. And a lot of the new new footage that's come out has shown different guns. Gun customization has shown armor on certain Guardians just constantly shifting in the different pieces of equipment you can get. So we're hoping that in terms of competitive, that you will actually get winnings from that and then be able to go out and purchase. Because actually, I think it was it Joseph Staten that said one of the ships that he bought, because we're all going to get our own spaceship to kind of go planet to planet,
yes,
bought with winnings from one of his match or from one of the matches.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it's pretty unbelievable.
Your own ship.
I mean, you're going to live this, man. Like, that's what they're... How crazy is that, Bungie? The company that made, like, you know, one of the best, if not the best, multiplayer experiences on the console is now having you play a game where you're creating this character and you're just going to live it. Even when you're out of the game. I mean, there's going to be an app that's going to tie you to this world. It's crazy,
I mean,
man.
I'm excited for it. The only concern is I have is there are those sets of gamers that basically have to or want to be hand led through the game, and I'm not sure how much Destiny is going to play to that, because it is more of a creative game where you're out on your own doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering. Go ahead.
No, I'll say Deej. He did mention that, you know, it is a game that allows you to do what you like, and for the newcomer who, you know, wants that traditional experience. Of course, I shouldn't say it's going to be a traditional experience if they want it to be, but they can run along the storyline if they will, if that's what they want. But it's not going to be some, you know, 10-hour, you know, on rails shooting experience like these traditional shooters that we see today. You know, so what you're saying does make a lot of sense. But
you know what, though, man? I mean, we've seen they keep mentioning and referring to it like books. So we know there's going to be like book one, chapter one. So there's like your main quest. So if you just want to hop in and do that, you can. Chances are you're probably going to come across people out in the world, other Guardians, just they're kind of where you are because the game's going to be matchmaking you up with them. However, you don't even need to interact with them. You can just go on your own way. Right. And they mentioned
You can turn that off too if you really, really want to.
Well, any of the areas that are enclosed areas that, and kind of the rule of thumb that they've been using is like if you look up at the sky and you don't see the sky and you're kind of in an area, that's a private area. So in there, nobody else can go in unless you invite your friends in. And that's probably where your main campaign set is going to happen. Right. So you could theoretically just hop in there. However, the way the game is built, like they're trying to make it where seamlessly you're just going to play with these people. I mean, one experience Deej mentioned to us at E3 when we interviewed him was he was in this area and he saw these Vex, which are kind of these robots, very similar to like the robots in episode one of Star Wars, or, you know, the prequels, if you want to say, where they're kind of walking. I mean, they're much bigger than that, but kind of walking very robotically. Deej came around the corner. There was three of them coming towards him. He just knew he couldn't take them on, so he kind of hid. One of them saw him and kind of alerted the other ones. They started walking his way. And then just out of nowhere, a guardian just happened to be like up on the hill who just, again, the game just matchmaking, put this guy in that same space, threw a sticky grenade. It just stuck on the thing's head and then just boosh, you know, blew it up. And then Deej and this guy kind of interacted, took out the Vex, and then the guy just went on his merry way, and that was it.
Integration that you have to do in order to get that kind of system to work has to be outstanding.
I know, man. It's ridiculous.
It's got to be some complex matching
constantly
and
running
syncing.
In the back.
Well, and you're syncing games while you're playing. You're syncing that up. You're matching both sessions, and I'm assuming there's like some progressive syncing where we have all these enemies on the map. They need to somehow converge at one point, and then when they finally converge, you're put in the same game.
Yep. Now, see, the biggest question
kind of system blows my mind.
Yeah, the question I have too is, what about even story progression? What if you and I are in completely separate areas? I'm on book one, let's say, of the campaign. You're on book 10. Things have happened in your game that haven't happened in mine. But, you know, if we go to these same areas together, whose world you're in? Or is that even part of the matchmaking? Like, it will never matchmake you and I up because certain things in one area I haven't seen yet. So it just knows, okay, we'll block Dustin out because, you know, granted, just the seamless matchmaking, not you and I inviting each other. But, all right, Dustin's not going to appear in Mark's world because this has happened in his world. So all that, not only your progression of level and all that, but things that have happened in the story, it's just not going to match us up. But then, you know, you think about that. Okay, well, if that's the case, what if you start playing 5 years down the line? Are you never going to encounter anybody? That's not the intent of what they're doing. So
if you also insane. Match up with friends, though, like if you go into a party with friends, that they would kind of break that too. So I'm sure. Yeah. I'm betting they're kind of accounting for that, but
they definitely are. Oh, but what are they doing for it? I don't know. Maybe it's just those story elements aren't as, I don't know, profound.
Or maybe it's lowest level has priority over story.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, we saw it at E3. You see some level, what were they, sevens or eights fighting with some level 20s, and the enemies kind of seemed to be the same difficulty level for everybody. It wasn't like these 20s swept in and just cleaned house. It was like, no, they still came in. There was a good fight. So the game is going to at least balance it to where whether, you know, whatever level you are, you can still play together. And Bungie's come out and said that. So you can play with your friends. The whole point of this game is to play co-op and just experience it. It literally is just this big social game. Like, that's the whole point of this game, to experience the story socially with other people. If you want to be antisocial and not interact with other people, you don't have to, but that they really are building it to be that.
Yeah.
So
Mighty Sandwich has a lot of questions in here.
He does
a lot of stuff. Hopefully you guys might maybe you should copy and paste it and answer them on your next Guardians
He brought up a question that was really interesting earlier, that it was like, wow, he talked about Destiny, whether it's going to run at 60 frames per second. And I was like, that's a good question, because most times shooters, or nowadays you see a lot of developers, especially with the next gen systems, looking to take their games to the next level in the frames per second category. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. Looking at the PS3 and 360 versions of the game, would they not do that because of that? I don't think they would, but possibility.
Well, I think someone had a comment right after, because I saw the question too, but I think shortly after that, they were mentioning how because of Destiny was coming out on the 360 and compared to Halo 5, where it's exclusively an Xbox One title, maybe they'll just have the 360 and the PS3 versions at that lower frame rate because because of the hardware limitations. And then for the next platforms, the Xbox One and the PS4, that's when we'll see the game run at a steady 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So it'll probably be quote unquote two different builds of the game, one for the older generation, one for the new generation.
See, though, that's the thing, man. They've come out many times and said that they are adamantly saying that you will get the same experience outside of just almost
experience. So yeah, you could still have the same experience, but it's just like if you write a program for say Windows XP and Windows 7, you would get the same experience. The build would be different based on the resources that you have on each system. So, yeah, the experience wouldn't change. It's just the build would be different.
Right.
Because for Xbox One, at least, you have Blu-ray capability, so you can put a lot more stuff on an Xbox One disc than you can a Xbox 360 disc.
Right. You know what, though, man? I'll tell you this. I'm expecting, they haven't said this yet, but I'm expecting you're going to have to install this thing on your 360 or your, I mean, obviously the PS3 has been doing that, but, you know, Defiance came out, you know, Defiance for what it is at the MMO from Tryon Worlds. You have to have 10 gigs on your hard drive to even play that game. I mean, that's a straight up MMO and you have to install it. So no doubt on the 360, you're going to have to install that. Definitely.
Well, what was it? Borderlands, if you wanted the HD texture pack, you had to have like 2 gigs of free space.
Yeah.
And all the DLC that's come out, I think the total of Borderlands now on the Xbox is like 18 gigs.
Wow. Halo 4, man. Didn't you have to install the multiplayer?
You did. You had to install the War Games and the Spartan Ops if you wanted to play those.
That's just, you know, kind of the way it is now. So, I mean, you know, in the end, I mean, they could even make it where the 360, the disc is just the DVD disc, but then you're downloading 18 gigs or whatever to put on your hard drive or whatever, you know, they put that cap in to play the game. And, you know, as long as they label that on the box, that's just the way it is. So,
yeah. So,
yeah.
It'd be interesting to see. Yeah.
So it's definitely some interesting stuff for Destiny coming out. I'm excited, although I'm still waiting for that one hook, line, sinker to just really get me past the excitement and into the full engage mode.
It's coming, man. It's coming.
It's
trust
coming.
Me.
I know it's coming. Trust me. I wonder if they're gonna do any of like the ARG stuff like they did with Halo 2 and Halo 3 and all that stuff.
I'm trying to think what we've had out so far. I mean, they've done, you know, they've had like these trading cards. I mean, originally they did actually before the release of it, they had a site up that kind of people were unlocking to unlock some music for Destiny. But I would hope that they do that. But as of right now, it's just basically, you know, people on following Bungie on Twitter, they're constantly posting pictures and kind of random things. And they've actually come out and said that everything that we've seen so far of the game and the trailers and all that they've released, there are many things hidden in there that have been revealed that we don't even realize yet. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, a year from now, once we know more at that point, to go back to these original trailers we've seen and maybe be able to point out locations and characters and things like that that, you know, right now we're just completely oblivious to, but, you know, it's there. Just people are trying to solve this mystery. We actually have a guy. One thing that we do too on our show is we have a smaller, shorter episode that we've been releasing that Craig has been working on. We create our own AI called Strauss, and it's kind of this fan fiction thing that we're doing, and it's in the Guardian Radio feed. And he's going out there doing this fanfic type things and kind of releasing this short story. We've built this whole fiction for it. But one of the guys who's voicing one of the characters on that, his name is James Byford. Him and a friend actually did something called Destiny Origins. And they dug deep, deep into the idea of the cosmic egg, which is something that goes all the way back to ancient times of the Egyptians and all that. And it's this idea of an egg that has brought life. And when you look at the images from, you know, this, we're talking real history here. You look at all these images, it's very similar to the Traveler. And so now there's this whole running theory that that's really what, you know, Bungie, they're doing something with this cosmic egg and this bringing of life. And, you know, we keep hearing that this thing has sparked the Golden Age, but we don't know what the Golden Age is. So, you know, we're almost wondering if somehow they built the game around our actual current history that we have today, somehow with things of our ancient past. So there's going to be some very, very interesting things, man.
Okay.
Come out of it. It's all a mystery, man. Destiny's a mystery.
Like, I know, right?
At the moment.
That's the selling point of it. Not only because like we literally don't know anything. It's just in the end, that's what I think the whole game is going to be. It's just exploring the galaxy, which is, you know, as little kids, it's something you always want to do. And now here we're going to be given the opportunity to do that.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
That's really so cool. All right. I think that kind of wraps up our discussions for tonight. Thank you guys again for being on and talking about Destiny and sticking through the Halo stuff.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Really appreciate
it. Like I said, I appreciate you having us on the show. You know, Podtacular is one of those shows, like I said, to me that it was one of my first podcasts I ever listened to. I'll tell you, it was Podtacular and the Go Nintendo podcast. Go figure that one out. And yeah, those are the two that I started listening to years ago. And yeah, it's kind of cool to be on here and say I've been on Podtacular 389. What are you guys going to do for 400?
I'm not right sure yet. A couple of things have come to mind. I have a couple of things down the road that I'm not quite willing to share yet publicly, but there is some stuff down the pipeline that I think you guys will appreciate and enjoy. So there nice. there is stuff in the pipeline for 400.
Cool.
It won't be as big as 300 because 300 actually fell on our anniversary.
Oh, so, man, that's awesome.
We went all out for that one. But yeah, there is some stuff coming. I'll leave it at that.
Nice. Well, I hope, you know, dude, I hope Guardian Radio, I hope we can make the 389. I mean, you guys, what is it, 8 years now?
8 years. Yeah, we started. That's awesome, the podcast, man. Started with Halo 2. Yeah. So you guys are kind of getting the jump start in that area.
Yeah, Bungie and Activision are saying this is a 10-year plan for Destiny. So
yeah,
we've committed ourselves. We're saying, all right, they're going 10 years. We're going 10 years too. So
good luck.
And, yeah, exactly. And dude, I mean, we've done, what did we just do this week, Derek? Episode 28.
Yep.
And I mean, there's honestly not that much out there, but we've been able every week to do this podcast. I mean, we've been having a blast doing it, and you
that's
know,
good.
I think it's a lot of people are enjoying it.
That's
so
really good. So why don't you go ahead and plug your show again and your website and all your little social media tidbits for the guys here on the show.
To find the website, just head over to theguardiansofdestiny.com. You can find the podcast over there. You can also find it on iTunes. The show is called Guardian Radio. So even if you just Google Guardian Radio, you'll find it. And Bungie actually did a spotlight on us and one of their community spotlights. You can even find it just through Bungie.net. We have a Bungie.net forum group. So you can go over there. It's just, again, search Guardian Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at Guardians of D. And we do the show live here on Twitch also every Monday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 Pacific at twitch.tv/Guardian Radio. So join up. And then, like I said, we do not every weekend, but about every Saturday, we're trying to do it just about. I mean, Craig's actually putting a lot of time into the Guardian Radio 0.5s, which are kind of the shorter episodes, those fan fiction pieces. That feature Strauss. Those come out just about every Saturday, but definitely dig into those. We're going to have some big news coming out for that very soon. And we're trying to get people to dive into the lore there because we have a huge, huge background for him. So
very cool. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, guys, that wraps up the show for tonight. Make sure you check out our website, podtacular.com. And if you have any questions or anything you would like to say about the show that we have tonight or anything that's we have talked about in the past, maybe you have some questions about the matchmaking stuff, feel free to drop us a line, and you can do that by hitting the big green submit button on our homepage, or you can send us an email directly to submissions@podtacular.com. Or if you feel so inclined and you want to actually be heard on the show, you can actually call our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO and leave about a 90-second message. Works pretty well. Also, check out our Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, which hopefully we'll be putting some content up there. One of those kind of episode 400 things. Hopefully that will come by as of that episode. On Facebook, we have actually recently posted our PAX Prime photos. So there's lots of good ones up there. Lots of Ready Up Live photos because that's kind of the crew I hung out with over the weekend. So make sure you check those out. Some pretty cool shots in there. Also, make sure you check us out every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is the time we do our live shows. And you can also check us out on Wednesdays at 8:30 as well. And that's when we do our custom game nights. So we go kind of scour the internet from time to time looking for fun customs that people like to play. And we get online and play those for 2 hours. And that's kind of done through the affiliation with Halo Customs. So definitely check that out on Wednesdays nights if you want to come and have some fun playing Halo. Not sure when we're going to bring the Monday Night Matchmaking back, but if there's enough interest for it, then we will probably be bringing it back later this month. So if you want to see that, shoot us an email or drop me a line, and we will look into getting that back up for you guys. That wraps up the show. Again, thank you to the guys from Guardian Radio for coming out to talk to us today. We have Mark Turcott, Craig Hardgrove, and Derek Smith, all from the podcast over there. And again, huge thanks to you guys for being on the show, and thank you for having me on your show again.
Nano Dow, thank you for having us, man.
You're a great guy, Dustin. We appreciate it, man.
I mean, isn't it, and we mention it on our show all the time, just how great, and you know, I know 343 is taking over the realm of Halo, but just like Bungie, and I mean, even we can even go over to 343, just the community that's built around these two games is fantastic. You know, the fact that we can even exist is, you know, just a testament. And the fact that the companies themselves, the developers, acknowledge us. You know, there's not many companies out there that really get hands-on with the community. And between these two companies, I mean, they're right there with us. So it's, you know, big, big thank you to Bungie and even 343 for letting us do what we do. So,
agreed.
Yep.
Thank you, guys, on both sides.
So until next time, keep on fragging space magic.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's awesome. Keep on fragging the space magic.
Space magic.